You keep something hot in a thermos flask, and you don't want it to cool down. So that's long suffering for you. And kindness, which is the next word, kindness and goodness. Sometimes scriptures reverse the two. And as far as kindness is concerned, it's I remember it's a very interesting Greek word for kindness. And yeah, here we have the Greek word for kindness. Oops. Yes. It's the little word Christotes. Christotes. Long suffering, gentleness in the old translation, but translated kindness, Christotes. And the word Christotes means, what does it mean to be kind? Well, the Greek word kindness, Christotes, is from the root word Chris, which means to be of use. It is the same root word when Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." So Jesus says, "My yoke is Christos and my burden is light." So is he saying, "My yoke is kind and gentle"? That's why in the Old King James it's translated gentleness, in the New King James it's translated as kindness. The translators are trying hard to bring forth the thing about kindness. What does it mean to be kind? In your mind, in the dictionary, they may say being generous, being considerate, being gentle. Gentleness comes again. But gentleness should be the word meekness, which comes later. This word kindness is from the word Christotes. And it has a concept of being useful and allowing yourself to be used by others in a good way. And so the root word means of use. Being useful, it's being kind. Whether you are in whatever social strata, social position you are, but you make yourself useful to the low and to the high, to whichever people. So that's a little different concept of kindness than we think of the normal concept. The word goodness is of course from the Greek word agathos, but it has a stronger meaning than agathos, the Greek word for goodness. It's agathosunei. Combining two words, the word sunei comes from together of sunagoge, which is a Greek word for synagogue, and which means a gathering together. So goodness is a combination of God's nature of goodness coming together. You're flowing together with God's goodness, not your own goodness, which is why Jesus says no one is good in themselves. So that's a strong concept of goodness. And interestingly, many times the translation of the word faithfulness has been, many times people think that the word faithfulness is an adjective, because faithfulness is not a noun in our English translation. Sorry folks, in the Greek it's a noun. So the Old King James was correct, the New King James is incorrect in its translation. And many modern translations translate that in error, because the Greek word is a noun. It's not faithfulness, it's faith. The fruit of the Spirit is faith, pistis. It is a noun, not an adjective. What difference does it make, you say? Because faithfulness is the act of being faithful. Faith is a gift from God, because it results in the acts. But the emphasis is on the gift coming out in your life, the gift of faith that God puts into your life. And then we have gentleness, which is actually the word meekness. And Then you have the last one, self-control, temperance. And temperance is important because it relates to control over the things of the flesh, over passion. And so you have all those concepts. You notice that each of those concepts are important in themselves. And you have nine fruit of the Spirit. And you say, wow, there are all these nine fruit of the Spirit. Each one has an important concept. But the principle behind all the fruit is only one. Love. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, all the nine fruits result from love. You have in 1 Corinthians 13, it says here in verse 4, love suffers long. And there you have long suffering. It's kind. There you have kindness. Does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. There you have the concept of goodness there. And you have the concept of meekness all coming true. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, love never fails. From verse 4 to 8, if you have a Bible study, you can tie all the nine fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22, 23 to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 6. But in 1 Corinthians 13, it's only talking about love. Love resulting in all those things. So as I say, there is, when you have 9 things, 20 things, 30 things, there is only one root. And the root of it is love. And how does love come through? Love comes through by loving God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. When you fulfill those two, the Bible says, you fulfill all the law. And you fulfill all the fruit of the Spirit. And so when we begin to work out our salvation and begin to learn how do you live your life believing that you are nothing without God, you have nothing without God, and you can do nothing without God. How does that operate out of your life? How does it feel? How does Jesus feel? What was his concept? What was going on in his heart and in his mind? Behind it is the concept of love, joy and peace. Now these three you will find always as a triplet together. Whenever he mentioned about the kingdom of God, he says the kingdom of God is love, joy and peace. He seems to leave out all the other things because these three are the first three that is sensed on your inside. When you're born again, the first thing that you sense is the peace. Because your sins are forgiven. And then it's possible that, of course, you sense the love of God, that God loves you, and you are thankful and you feel a measure of joy because of what has happened in your life. Now, it is in different measures in each life. Some receive it a little bit and they grow in it. Some seem to experience it abundantly and then they learn how to maintain it. But there's that concept of love, peace, and joy. But they all flow from love. Because it says, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart, and we have peace with God. So the peace results from love. Love is that. But I'd like to bring it forth here, how important it is to walk in that concept of we are nothing, and how do we walk about. The question of, how do I find God's will in my life? What do I do about God's will? Many times we think God's will is like a three-point note or one-page letter that we have where God describes to us all those things we want to do. Now, generally, He does give you an idea of the direction to go. Otherwise, God brings it forth before you that every day, the only thing you need to remember every day is to have peace with God and to just do the right thing. Think about it this way. If every day you are walking right with God, you will always end up doing His will. So even if you don't know the end result of everything you should be and should do, You only have a faint concept or a blur concept or a little piece of vision of what you could be that God wants you to be, that is. All you have to do is every day do the right thing and walk in that road of peace and love and joy. For that's the kingdom of God. Whenever you begin to think that you are something, that you have some things, lots of things, and you can do lots of things, the first thing that leaves from your heart and your mind is peace, love, and joy. Now, we move between the two sometimes without realizing it. Because God will test you. You may have your Isaacs that God actually gave to you. Everything in life is like your Isaac. God borrowed that to you for a short time. And you must surrender it back to God constantly. But sometimes we cross the line outside without realizing it. But inside you, there will be an indicator. Something on your inside, an alarm bell will ring. That says, you're walking outside the road of peace, love, and joy. Let's look at some of these things here. Let's turn to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and look at what concept they have on this area of peace. Let me focus on peace since it's the most experienced sense that we have. In chapter 1 of Luke, verse 79, it says that Jesus actually came and that the John the Baptist ministry to testify of Jesus was in verse 79 of Luke 1 to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Peace is the road you travel every day. When you wake up in the morning, the first thing that you try to sense is the love, peace, and joy. People ask, Pastor, how do I walk filled with the Spirit? How do I walk in the Spirit? Right? Walking in the Spirit is a Bible concept. When you reckon yourself dead, then you walk in the Spirit. When you're alive to yourself, you're not walking in the Spirit, you're walking in the flesh. There is no halfway. You're either walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh. There is no halfway. Now, walking in the flesh doesn't mean necessarily that we are obvious to people doing the wrong things. No. Down the road, it will be obvious. But at the moment that you regard that you are something, you have something, and you can do something without God, you're actually walking in the flesh. We will see the results later, but in your heart and mind, you've already taken that road. You know, just like when you're driving around, if you are going in a certain direction, you know the road to take. But sometimes if you go to an unfamiliar area, you take the wrong turn, you don't immediately realize it until you're down the road. Let's say you're going from here to Sydney, and let's say you're new, and you take that highway down, and then you come, and as you keep looking, okay, this is how many kilometers to Sydney, and suddenly you see the next sign, how many kilometers to Melbourne. Turn around, you're going the wrong way. Or some of you, if you're new, you may make the mistake. I have not made that mistake, but some of my friends have. When they come back to Canberra, and they take that main highway. Oh, I don't know what they call it, highway now. Or highway number what, whatever it is. And as they come to Canberra, you know, when you come to Canberra and you're on that highway from Sydney, you always must remember there's a left turn. If you don't turn left, you end up in Yass. And so a few of my friends thought, oh, that's a road to Canberra. And they keep going, and they're going, and they said, how come the next place city is called Yass? Where's Canberra? Way back there, left turn. Right. There's always a left turn into the Federal Highway. Now, when you make a mistake on the highway, You don't realize it the moment you make a mistake, you realize it down the road. The same way when you walk in the spirit or walk in the flesh, when you actually are in, you know when you're in the flesh? When you're alive to yourself. The moment you're alive to yourself and you say, I can do it, I am something, I have something, you're already in the flesh.